I'm Nikki Appleton from Actuarial Edge, and I'm your chair today. We're going to hear an interesting presentation from Rick Shaw and Kay Stefan, although we've just got one of the authors here today, titled Actuary Transformation, the Future Actuary. Both authors of the paper are from Deloitte. Case has extensive general insurance experience in Australia, New Zealand and European markets. He has led a number of roles with responsibility for the provision of reserving, pricing and capital modelling advice to insurance and reinsurance businesses. His experience includes leading mergers and acquisition in general insurance streams, being responsible for insurance and reinsurance board and management advice relating to corporate strategy, capital management, insurance reserving recommendations, pricing advice on large, complex deals, and economic risk management, risk capital modelling. Case has and continues to serve in a number of appointed actuary and peer reviewing roles in Australia and New Zealand. Case is an active member of the Actuaries Institute with involvement in the General Insurance Practice Committee, the General Insurance Editorial Board, and other committees. He has authored and presented papers at Actuaries Institute and industry forums on topics including telematics, LAGIC, GI pricing, insurance cycle management, asset liability management, and sustainability and triple bottom line reporting. Please join me in welcoming Case.
Yeah, thanks very much, Nikki. Okay, so thanks everybody for turning up. This talk is about a path to actuarial transformations. A lot of the ideas in this paper actually have come from transformations that took place in the finance area over the last 10, 15 years, and also brings together some of the best practices we saw sort of worldwide around Deloitte. Now, it was intended that Rick Shaw and I present the paper together, but Rick actually was unavoidably held back. And I can say that in this very minute, he's actually working on transforming an insurer and an actuarial team. The basis of it is that the increase in regulatory focus of our profession, and this has occurred worldwide over the last 10 years, it's given us a much-needed foundation. We were a strong part in building a very good prudential framework all around the world. We were central to that as actuaries. This has been done, and it's been done well, and now we're in a position, and I think the processes are also in place, where all this good work can be built into a better commercial, a focus on commercial strategy. So we'll talk about what is an actuarial transformations. What are the four faces? We have a four faces framework of a successful chief actuary. What does that look like? We'll cover some of the current issues facing actuaries all around the world. There was a global survey that we performed, which was addressed to chief actuaries or heads of actuarial functions. A key outcome that came out from this is that actuarial teams are not fulfilling their full potential. We're all very busy, but the full potential is not there. Issues such as the focus on regulatory requirements, combine that with less than optimal data, less than optimal IT platforms, that's all hampering our ability to engage effectively with the rest of the organization. That was the key message. So our conclusion from that was that we need to fundamentally change if we are to remain relevant in our insurance entities beyond the regulatory and compliance, and well into the strategic spheres. So, this is the actuarial transformation, to create the actuarial function of 2020. In 6 years from now, this has to change, of course. So we have prepared a video for this.
The very first actuaries probably used one of these. We think it's fair to say a lot's changed since then. Once known as the guardians of financial strength and equity in the insurance industry, now their roles changed. They're more about compliance and have less input into strategic decision-making. They've moved towards reporting and modelling and away from providing business insights. While many organisations are aspiring to use analytics and big data, their actuarial teams are often overlooked, even though they're highly skilled in these areas. To achieve their full potential, actuaries must transform themselves. The Actuary of 2020 is a business partner, a trusted advisor providing insights and adding measurable shareholder value. It's no longer enough to model and analyse. The actuary of the future will need to communicate with the business in a language they can understand. It's about asking, so what? And so what next? And then providing insights on what really matters.
Yep. So we spent a lot of time putting that video together. Working with our creative guys. What is an actuarial transformation? I mean, we define it as a change to the processes, systems, and people in the actuarial team. They can take the form of making the processes more efficient, and I've got some examples here for you if you want to read through them. It can be about better data, enabling better data, changing the platforms, IT platforms, re-engineering the team structure, who reports to who and who does what. And that's within the actuarial team, but also how they interface with the rest of the organization. It can be about instilling a culture change, the way the actuaries are thinking, the way they are communicating. This is all aimed at saving time, saving money for the organization, making us think differently. If we draw an example from here, I mean, it's not always about headcount saving. It can be even about making things faster, such as a reserving close-off. It can be about, we see a lot of underinvestment in actuarial processes over time. We've been using the same processes a lot of the time for the last decade. We feel there has been an underinvestment in changing these processes. They were working well 10 years ago, but as the environment changed, we didn't invest time to change them. So it's about freeing ourselves up. Enabling us then to move away from just data things and more into improving analysis, reporting, management connection, and stakeholder viewpoints, influence, and so on. So that's a transformation. Some of the examples that we have seen, and these are various real-life case studies. If we talk about improving efficiency, it's about, say, manual workarounds, materially eliminating those manual workarounds in our work. Regulatory reporting time, the time to actually start from the data to producing a report. Why don't we have that? Enhanced control. So, we always have the challenge of multiple sources of data, which we try to combine to get one view of the organization, and that can give us multiple sources of truth. How do we achieve one? Reserving errors. I've come across my fair share of reserving errors over time. So, how can we have stronger controls to do that rather than continuing to do the same thing? So, yeah, these are just some examples that we have seen. On the people side, so with talent management, it's about incentive structures, how to retain and properly incentivize the good performers, but also if there's an uplift that's needed in staff, what tools and approaches are there to achieve that uplift and measure it? And in fact, a lot of this, some of it is technical in nature, the process improvements and so on, but some of it is very non-technical in nature, such as improving the performance. The finance area and the risk area over the last 10-15 years, they have been using many of these tools and techniques to help transform them. And we feel, well, they have used it to good effect for their own profession. So what's stopping us from using that for our profession as well? So the chief actuary or the head of an actuarial function, they have a critical role to play in an organization. They can have a significant impact on how the organization operates. I'm not sure if you can see the small text at the back, but we view the four faces of a successful chief actuary as being a steward, operator, catalyst, and strategist. So if I go through that quickly, you've got the bottom two, the steward and the operator, are your business as usual things. Operator, it's about having processes, turning the handle quickly, efficiently, without much error. So the head of the actuarial function has ambit over that to make sure everything's working well, operating well. The steward face is around having stewardship or accountability for the function, what it delivers, how it engages with management, a stewardship over a reserving function, a pricing function, capital management function, all these three key things and more are actually quite key to an insurer. So having the accountability for that function. And we feel that a successful chief actuary has actually typically built a good steward and operator mode. Everything's working well. Before then, building on to be more the forward-looking faces, so more the catalyst and the strategist. So a catalyst is, the forward-looking, where you look at, well, what needs to change in the organization, influencing management to make those changes happen. How do we do that? The strategist is, okay, well, change is already happening, influenced by the chief actuary. They are the center of this change. How do we also then embed ourselves in changing where the organization's heading from a business commercial sense? So, yeah, how do we balance ourselves across these four rather than just focusing on some at the detriment of others? So to answer some questions, we did as everybody else does. We sent a survey out. And this was to understand the nature of actuarial issues that are facing functions worldwide. It was a global survey and covering general life and health insurance and reinsurance. And the addressees, as I mentioned before, were the heads of actuarial functions. We received responses from around 100 companies. And it covered various areas of the world: Australia, Canada, Denmark, South Africa, UK, US. And we got both small and large. So it was a good balance. Out of this 100, or sort of slightly more than 100, 15 of them were GI related. So not a big sample to analyze from, but where we did see some differences, we separated them out and alluded to them. The team sizes, you probably can't see the tables on here, but the average team size was 31 people in an actuarial team, and it was skewed by some very large organizations. The mode was about 10 people in an actuarial team. And what was interesting is actually about 70% of the chief actuary is reported into CEO or CFO. About 10% reported to the CRO. So that's the profile of the respondents. Some of the emerging themes that came out from the survey, we identified seven key themes, and we'll go through each one of these briefly in the next few slides. But suffice to say, I think we felt that there are some areas that actuaries are doing well, but many, many others that we can certainly improve. So, touching on the first one. So, actuarial functions at full capacity, but not full potential. Actually, this was the base theme. Increasingly, we felt that the actuaries are stuck in this operational role. And our spheres of influence remain to be reserving, pricing, even capital management, and certainly on pricing and reserving, it has been mandated by a number of regulations or jurisdictions around the world: Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, USA. But what was interesting is around 70% of the survey respondents said that over the last 3 to 5 years, the key driver for change for them has been regulation. And also that they can see that also going forward for the next 3 to 5 years. The key driver wasn't business change or something strategic. It was more regulation. And 30% expect that will continue into the next three to five years. So, as an illustration to what we saw, you can see the radial diagram there. We feel that there's a bit of lopsided picture of what we are doing as actuaries, and lopsided towards looking at measuring risk, measuring financial metrics, and carrying out operations on the bottom right hand side, but not as efficiently as we can. But certainly what's been missing is those two other faces that I mentioned before, which is driving strategy and embedding strategic behaviours or making a change. So we feel now a transformation is something that can fix this. It's typically a complex thing to do for an actuarial team. There are many moving parts. We are dealing with people, with systems. So it's not necessarily straightforward. But you know, transformation done well will actually does achieve balance. We have seen examples of that. It must encompass data and systems, and it must also connect with the rest of the organization. We've seen many examples where organizations say, yes, let's transform. They come to the finance function, they do that. They come to the actuarial function, and they put it in the too hard basket. Because we do complex things, we do interact with many parts of the organization. So, you know, any actuarial transformation has to be part of a wider connection to the organization rather than standalone. The second theme was bad data. It could be big data, but it's bad data and bad technology. They are crucial areas for us. They are actually the foundation of all of our modeling and most of our work. But what we found from the survey was two key drivers behind the functions were firstly the bad data in terms of it is inconsistent or poorly specified. There are not good governance around the data repositories. So that's on the data side. Technology was also poor. There are many inefficient processes, lots of manual processing. Often the technology itself is outdated. So all of that actually impeded the actuarial function's ability to add value. In the survey, we asked how close are various areas to their optimal state. And what was interesting is technology came out as 4 out of 10. So that was one of the lowest areas. And GI was no different. What we see is that over time, IT infrastructure has become more complex. New products, new business units, etc. And organizational change, whether it's a merger or acquisition or whatever, is not always bedded down and from a technology standpoint. So what do? We as actuaries? Well, we need to access the holistic data. So we have typically ended up maintaining our own shadow IT functions, our own shadow data repositories. With that came we need to maintain our own controls, our own governance, our own manual workarounds. So and increasingly now, we are relying on processes that are outside the organization's overall systems. Sometimes not all the time, but increasingly so. And also, another one that's I feel is a missed opportunity is if we have rigorous checks and we are fixing the data, to what extent is that filtering back to the organization to fix the organization-wide data repositories? So, yeah, we feel that this introduces not just inefficiencies, but also operational risk. And, talking about operational efficiency, we looked at operational efficiencies, and in our view, there's inefficiency in the data, and it's actually connected to a lack of this lack of investment in modernizing our processes and so on over time. I would say companies can benefit significantly by enhancing their processes. We are also busy as well. So, you know, there has to be this J-curve effect where extra effort needs to be expended to fix it in the long term. The survey results, so again, we asked which are the areas requiring most improvement. And what was interesting there is, and GI is the dark green square. And you can see sort of the average is the green dot with the upper and lower quartiles. So what came out was actually data is a key area that requires most improvement, but also other areas that we want to get into, analytics. Documentation was there because I suppose it's something that's needed. But we didn't have issues with assumption setting or results or modeling, so not as much at least. The analytics one is interesting. I suppose it's an area where actuaries have much to contribute, and we can certainly do that. But because we are bogged down in turning the handle, we're not having the time to get into analytics. And indeed, if we don't transform ourselves over the next decade or so, or even quicker than that, I'd say the role of analytics may fall outside the remit of the actuarial team. I'd say well within 10 years. The next one is resources. So we alluded to resources are constrained. Look, it's a very busy graph, but essentially down the bottom, I'll explain what this means. Down the bottom is the actuarial value chain. So we start with data, then we do stuff, we model it, then all the way to the end where we analyze and report to management. So from left to right. Now, for each one of these areas of our actuarial value chain, there are barriers to improving this. So, for example, with production runtimes, okay, in the middle, the biggest area, or let's call production errors, okay, that's again in the middle. The biggest area is the light green at the top, which is technology. A few themes emerged here from this. The first one is what we see here, this color around here. Technology. Technology is a key area for production. So certainly that's seen as a key barrier to improving. Another one that we saw was for management, this is need or demand from management. This is actually an area that goes across the whole value chain. It's an obstacle across the whole chain. We are not connecting with management to show them the need, to show the demand, so they can ask us to do it or give us the budget to do it or what have you. It's an area that's actually a barrier across the whole thing. Another interesting one is we need more resources, resource constraints, this color here. It starts at the data area, and it starts at it ends with the analysis, but not necessarily as much on the production. So, you know, three key areas, technology, resource constraints, you know, you can see, and then connection with management and getting the buy-in. Yeah, but certainly resource constraints is something that's key in the stuff that we do. Even if we were to outsource all the data production stuff offshored or keep it onshore but with the IT function, you know, we are not doing the rest of this outside the data stuff as well. The other one is actuarial functions, not aligned to strategy. I mean, it's interesting because given that most actuarial functions report into either CFO, CEO, or CRO, there's clear scope for the actuarial function to address and connect with business issues. We're actually very close to this to the C-suite. But when we asked the respondents how well is the actuarial function aligned to business strategy, the average score was good. It wasn't strong, it was good. So, okay, it's not poor. But certainly room for improvement. And, you know, it was interesting given our relative proximity to the C-suite. So, yeah, why is this? And I suppose those other themes already identified, they all come together. You know, the whole thing about freeing up the actuaries to interpret the results and having time to connect with, you know, manage upwards more, connect with strategy and be forward-looking more. The out of 10 in terms of effectiveness of interactions, because I feel it's an interaction thing as well, this connectivity. So we had a question on how well does the actuarial function interact with the various functions in the organization, claims, underwriting, finance, management board, etc. And actually, I mean, the strongest relationships are with the finance teams. And they are also good, at good levels across most of the other teams. So it probably goes back to maybe, I don't have all the answers, but, you know, we are well connected to all of these. Why can't we get the buy-in and the influence? What is happening there? Maybe that's a topic for discussion. The second last theme was actuaries are not seen as catalysts. I mean, yes, we are expected to produce the reliable results, reporting information. We're expected to protect the business's reserving, pricing, capital functions. But yeah, we are less known for drivers of change. The survey said that and this is the diagram here, what has been the drivers of change over the last 3 to 5 years and the next 3 to 5 years? And clearly regulation has been the driver there. You know, less than 10% of the respondents talked about product development or business development or expansions or what have you. And it is surprising because we'd conducted another survey with CFOs, another part of not us, but another part of Deloitte, and what CFOs are looking for are somebody to help them grow the business. given the current economic conditions, this confidence is coming back and waning, but that's what they are looking for. The other category here actually had different miscellaneous things like GFC, economic conditions, lapse and DII issues, so the life issues coming through, profit implementation and so on. Some of them alluded to new products, startups and the like. So, yeah, I'd say two key takeaways for us. If we don't drive the change, it will be imposed on us. And the second thing is what we mentioned before. Already, two other professions have done these changes, and it worked for them, I would say. So, yeah. Last but not least, taking the overall perspective, if we change at the granular level, whether that's at the corporate level or even us as individuals, then this will naturally, as you all know, will flow as an impact to the professions, to the profession overall. The challenge actually is to build on the profession's existing strong reputation on technical skills, knowledge of insurance products, and introducing elements of agility into our mindset. As the video alluded, I think also us focusing on just what, not just the what of our message, but also the so what for the business, and also so what next. That's the forward-looking, the strategic piece. And this is not a step change from what we saw in other companies and so on. It's actually an ongoing thing. It's the actuaries having their radar fixed on the stakeholders and continually changing rather than switch on and it's done. It's like evolution, I suppose. So, in conclusion, I think we have worked to develop a reputation, our reputation of high standards. This was okay in the past. But the world has changed, and we have a lot more data now, a lot more other professionals that can analyze this data, and also other professions that understand insurance businesses. So the world has changed, and we need to change as well to stay relevant. More needs to be done to embed ourselves in the commercial and the elements of business strategy. And I'd say organizations have a lot to gain by maximizing our potential in these areas. And last but not least, an actuarial transformation, if it's performed well in a balanced way, it can realize some of these benefits that in those examples that I showed earlier. And that's it.
Thanks, Case. That was very interesting, thought-provoking. We'll open up the floor now to questions. The Actuaries Institute has just asked if you'll go to the microphone and state your name because they're recording it. So, questions.
Thanks, Case. Thomas Cherian from Suncorp. I think I agree with most of your key messaging that we sort of in danger of becoming extinct if we don't change. How much of a part does our education process has to change to support that? Because do you see us being trained in very technical skills when it should actually reflect more of that business strategy and engagement piece in the training process? Do you think there's a role for education to evolve as well for the future actuary?
Thanks for that question. Definitely I'd say education is a strong part of it. The up-and-coming young actuaries, they will be the leaders of our profession. So how do we train them to think like this? How do we train them in management frameworks? We are technically sound, so no need to train further on that. I'm aware, for example, the UK Institute had a communications module as part of the qualification range. And so what other things do we need? Do we need influence techniques or negotiation skills? What sort of things do we need to put us back in the shape that we want? So, yeah, I absolutely second that. Any other views on that? Happy to have a discussion as well.
Jeff Thorpe from Westpac. I suppose the thing that worries me when everybody says, oh, we need to change our education, is where we are, because we have got that very strong background in analytical work, and we need to be careful that we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater sort of thing, that we need to make sure that we still retain the strength that we are building from before we can go ahead. I also worry sometimes when I remember what I was like in university now. I actually did not an actuarial course at uni. I did all my actuarial by correspondence. And I found that things like the management, the leadership and all that sort of stuff actually comes from working as much as it does from courses or whatever else like that. And I actually, I'd be interested in other people's opinions on this as well, but I think there needs to probably be two sections for training. One is the existing actuarial training process, but then maybe a bit more structured CPD side of things, maybe along this sort of vein, where you actually say, look, yes, you're a qualified actuary now, but there's still skills you need to learn, but you need to learn them as part of your workplace. So
hi, I'm John Howard from Suncorp. Just going back to your little infographic thing.
Video?
The video, that's what you call it. So there was a bit in there saying that actuaries often get overlooked for some of the stuff that we believe that we're well adapted and skilled to be able to do. What views do you have as to why that's the case?
Yeah, why that is. I mean, if we go back 10, 15 years ago, I think we were seen as people who can help build this prudential framework worldwide. You know, we've seen the rise of actuaries in the reserving and pricing arena, and as a statutory role, I mean, that was a recognition of our skill sets. But I mean, that was a blessing, but also over time, and if we just stay in that area, it can be not really a blessing. It can be a curse in disguise. So, the requirements imposed on us, or this statutory role that was given to us, has shaped how we are doing our work and our focus over the last 10 years. We just need to be aware that, you know, going forward, we've done this well. Now let's move forward to the next area and not stay where we are. So I'd say that's been part of it in terms of what's happening, but also the world is moving faster and faster. You know, big data, you've got analytics, people who do analytics purely, they are not necessarily actuaries, mathematicians, statisticians. So the world is becoming smarter. So, you know, we are also clever people. How can we inject ourselves in those areas? And you know, not to say that there aren't actuaries that do that, but, you know, how do we move away just from that technical side of the analytics, but more about benefit realization for the business, those kinds of areas that we can, I'd say, contribute to. Does that answer your question? So my thing was regulatory, I'd say.
What extra skills do you actually need? I think you touched on it a little bit, but what extra skills do the actuaries need to be able to convince, or get the management buy-in to say that yes, we can do those strategic thinking,
What else? Yeah, one of the questions I was asked in the survey, so what are the barriers to improvement? And in the other category, a lot of the stuff there was around interpersonal skills. So, you know, you saw there was less need for extra modelling or extra analysis or the results. There was less need for that. The need was for data, but in the other category, most of that was around interpersonal skills. So, you know, we need to communicate. A lot of the time we do something, we feel it's good if it's accurate, but that's not necessarily the business definition of good. Sometimes a business needs a level of accuracy that they're comfortable with and not necessarily our level of accuracy. So, you know, it's about changing our mindset. It's about talking the right business language, interpersonal skills, which includes influence and all of those things. But, yeah, in that other category, that a lot of that came out. So I think it needs to be encompassing a number of elements. Yeah. Which, as I think, Jeff, you alluded to, it's a combination of training plus on the job.
Can I just add a bit to that as well? I actually report up not through a CFO or a CRO or anybody else. I actually report up through a product line. I deal with pricing.
Yeah.
And I've reported up through finance lines before, And I think I've learnt more in 4 years of reporting up through product line than I have through 20 years of reporting up through other lines. Just on those other skills. So things like what's important to the business, how to actually talk to the business, actually sitting with the business and actually being in the same room rather than being in a different building or different floor or whatever else like that. They might not seem an awful lot to overcome. They might not seem like a big change or whatever else like that, but just sitting with the business day in, day out, hearing the small things that go around, you go, oh, so that's what they're interested in and that's what's taking up their time. And sometimes you can hear a conversation start and you get in on, you know, minute one rather than day three, and suddenly you are involved in the discussion about where things are going rather than them having the discussion about where they want to go and then getting you involved to do the modelling around it.
Yeah, that concept of having a seat at the table, it alludes to that being there in those conversations, but also if we have the right influence skills, and I'd say we can get seats at the table where we want because we have that background to help.
If I could just add a bit more to what you were saying, Jeff, I think you're absolutely right that work experience does give us some of those skills. But I think if we look across the whole profession, we have sort of found ourselves in an area where we don't want to be, and maybe one of the impediments to that is our expectation that actuaries provide technical expertise, and it's not an automatic thing to think of them as having the necessary skills to be in that strategic trusted advisor. It is in some corporations. So for me, it's more a question of how do we change that perception? How do we, at a very bottom level up, change that? So there might be opportunities through the education process. I wouldn't suggest that we necessarily have to chuck out any technical skills, but how do we embed those communication, influencing skills as part of our education process? There might be other opportunities. So those valuable work skills that you've talked about, maybe it's through the mentoring program that, you know, those are emphasised. And so for new graduates, it is more of an expectation that you'll have a mentor and that they'll be able to say, you know, you need to look for this experience, and that's really valuable. So I think it's ingraining that more.
Just be aware, mentors outside the profession are good as well.
Yes, yes, most definitely. I think our time's up. Join with me in thanking Case. It's a very interesting topic.